This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
State Representative Dan Calkins joins us. It feels like it's been a month since I've talked to you, and a lot has happened. How are you doing on this Thursday morning?
Very well, thank you. Good morning.
All right. Let's talk, if you will, mail-in voting. I thought Jim Oberweis, and trust me, I don't think I've ever actually said this sentence out loud, had it a valid point in how the Democrats are picking who they're mailing these to. What's your overall thought, living in this day and age, about mail-in voting, and why wouldn't it be a viable alternative if it's done in a fair way?
Well, it is, and we do. I mean, it's already very viable. People can request a mail-in ballot for any reason. So there's nothing new about that, and I think it's very useful.
But they pick.
I'm not opposed to mail-in ballots.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would, because as you mentioned, we have done this for a long time. But the Democrats picked in Illinois voters in 2016 or 2018 versus 2016. There was a difference of nearly a million voters. Why not send a ballot to every registered voter?
Well, we're not sending ballots.
Well, I'm sending the reminder. Yes, yes.
And that was a victory because they wanted to send ballots. But what we're sending is an invitation to people that voted in 2018 and have registered to vote since that election. And, they have to then return the request for a mail-in ballot, and then the ballot comes in. The problem is the expense of it with very little advance notice. And in this year with some real difficult budget decisions at the county level, I know the Democrats said that there's money from the federal government, or I guess that's where they want to get it from, to pay, but it's paid after the fact. So our counties are going to have to execute this plan, and if they fail to execute any part of it, the threat is that they won't get any reimbursement for it. So it's 180 some days before the election. It doesn't give a lot of time for preparation, and it's very, very expensive.
But is it? It's expensive, but not as expensive. I mean, why would we not want to go? I mean, we've lived through times, Representative, over the last 3 months that we haven't lived through in 100 years. I mean, why would we not? If we could do away with all the election judges and all of the expense of holding election day, wouldn't everybody mailing in their ballot make a lot more sense in 2020?
Well, it's not possible. I mean, you'd have to completely change the election laws. And I asked that question not to stop or subvert the polling places. But the question I asked was, if we're going to go to this process and start moving people towards mail-in ballots, why wouldn't we give the local election authorities, Josh Tanner in Macon County, the ability to reduce the number of polling places? And, the answer is, well, we want to make sure everybody has a chance to vote. So there's some validity to that. But to your point, if we're going to start doing mail-in balloting, we need to have some flexibility, and it just wasn't on the table.
I understand. My point earlier was the 2016 general election had almost a million more voters than the 2018 election. Democrats did much better in 2018. I mean, there are some politics going on with this about who they're sending these things to versus sending it to a larger group of people that voted in 2016.
Correct. And that's the hypocrisy of what was done with this bill, picking their best advantage, I guess. And you're absolutely right. Just in Champaign County alone, there were about 6,000 fewer Republicans voted in the 2018 elections. It's just in Champaign County.
Yeah. All right. I know this seems like a long time ago, but walk us through the experience of what you guys had as legislators meeting for the first time in a long time over in Springfield and the circus, surrounding all of that with protesters and what happened with Representative Bailey. Can you walk through what that experience was like?
It was really kind of strange being spread all out, you know, there was very, very little interaction, which we normally enjoy, being able to talk to our counterparts, even in your own caucus. We were spread so far apart. During floor debate, you really couldn't see oftentimes, you know, who was speaking. It was kind of a real interesting experience, for sure. The protests were one the very first day, I think Wednesday. There was a group of people that came to protest about opening the state. It wasn't a huge distraction, and you know, we tried to do the best we could do.
All right. I saw a picture. I don't remember which media outlet, and it was your. The picture was you from behind talking to Representative Bailey, and it seemed like you were imploring him or talking to him. What were those conversations like? And then what did you make of him going outside and telling people that he hadn't been tested when that was part of the argument you were making about not having him kicked out?
I had a conversation earlier in the week with Darren. And you know, about getting tested, and I told him that, you know, he was curious because I had gotten tested, how I accomplished that, and I gave him some really simple things that he could do. I presume that's he asked the question because he was going to get tested. He wanted, or you know, it was going to be something that he could get done before we went to Springfield. I was frankly a little disappointed that you know, he didn't do that. It wasn't demanded. It wasn't a condition of coming to Springfield. It was just a request, and he chose not to do that. I chose to do it. You know, Mayor Julie was very gracious in getting me into St. Mary's to the drive-through testing site and in and out, and got my results back rather quickly.
Yeah, I felt like that you were trying to have his back, and he didn't necessarily have yours in your attempt to have his back.
Well, I that's true to a point. I think also that you know, there. I don't know. He made a decision. He came back the next days with a mask on. You know, I guess it was a point of honor for him.
I guess, but Dan, do you not feel like some of your fellow members of the Republican Party could have taken a victory lap that day, pressuring the governor into opening up some things and doing some more things, and the story became all about him?
Oh, I don't think it was all about him. I think there was a lot of other news items. You know, I think it was his, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. But we did, you know, we've done a lot of things as a caucus. Unfortunately, we're not joined by the Democratic caucus. I mean, they've chosen to remain silent throughout this whole episode. We don't hear them asking, you know, for the governor to open up the state in a more regional basis instead of these great big regions. You know, it's disappointing. I mean, they have to be feeling the same thing I'm feeling. They have to be, you know, feeling the same thing that Leader Durkin's feeling, Keith Wheeler. I mean, you know, we're all out in our districts talking to people, manning the phones, trying to help people fight through this unemployment process. It's just absolutely abysmal. And yet, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest from the Democratic caucus to get involved in advocating, you know, for at least for the downstate population.
All right, let me get your final thoughts here on what's happening in the streets of America today. When you look at what's happened across this country, in Chicago, in Decatur, in Champaign, in Danville, in Springfield, in Bloomington, when you speak to your African-American constituents, where are we in this country today, and what can the General Assembly do to help?
Well, I don't think there's much that the General Assembly passing another bill or another resolution isn't going to help. I think this is a local issue, a regional issue maybe, where the people in the of our communities need to come together. We need to be more in tune with each other. I think there is a huge problem that this issue out of Minneapolis has brought to light, and I'm very unfortunate that we had to. I mean, I couldn't watch the whole tape, but to put this out in public, which is the only way that this issue would now be on the front pages. But we need to come together as communities. We need to come together and talk about the issues. We did that last night. I had some leaders on a Facebook live event for the looting and burning and killing that's resulting from people trying to take advantage of a situation. I think discredits what normal, real people are trying to do to address this issue of disparity in social injustice. I think it's racism, and we need to be more in tune with each other. But we have to face up to it. It's real. It's the people of color feel it, and we have to address it, and we have to address a lot of other issues that result from it. We have to address education, we have to address housing, we have to address infrastructure. I mean, there's just things that maybe we've gotten a little comfortable about as a society that we now have to. I believe the time has come. And I truly believe that this will gain momentum and we will see positive changes in this country.
Representative Dan Calkins, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. And the irony of all ironies, yesterday it was announced with the autopsy results that George Floyd also tested positive for coronavirus. I mean, the exclamation point on the sentence of how all of this has encapsulated our lives over the last 3 months.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.